What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, from Borgata, our home base every Friday. We love being here. We love being with you. And we love when the season gets closer to October because, you know, if the Phillies have a good team, that means we get to see playoff baseball, which we likely will this year. I just wish they had a better center and left field situation. And Harrison Bader does not feel to me like someone who solves it. I was thrilled, like most people, with what they did on Wednesday night. I was very underwhelmed and, frankly, aggravated with what they did yesterday. Good morning to you. You can react to it all, 215-592-9494.
Let me give you an additional piece to what the Phillies should be doing here for the next, I could say, couple days. Maybe you push out a week.
Okay.
They need to get Justin Crawford in the big leagues. Two reasons. Number one, he could potentially help. He could be better. He could be better. He surely can be better than Rojas, and he may be better than Marsh. They were probably holding him back in AAA because I'm sure they talked about him. He was in conversations. They didn't necessarily want him to come up to the big leagues, go 0-for-12, and watch his value drop.
Right. They want him. They said they, when they bring him up, they want him to play every day.
Which I thought was a mistake by Dombrowski yesterday. He didn't say every day yesterday, but he said he's got to play a lot. That was the phrase, a lot. Yeah. I disagree with that.
Why?
Because you could bring him up in September and he can contribute for October. He doesn't have to play a lot. He has to help them try to win a World Series.
And if he's good enough, he will play a lot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Is. My issue is, why did we not do this before the trade deadline? Like, don't you want to see what he has before the trade deadline
I really believe what I said, Devin.
No, I don't think
they wanted to run the risk. Not once of he wasn't not tied to good. One team because only the Phillies think that he's as great as he is. You know, like, he does not get as much interest, obviously, as Painter, but, like, Aiden Miller, Eduardo Tait, obviously, was traded yesterday. So, I'm just saying, like, I just don't know. I hope he's great when he's brought up, and, I mean, hopefully he will be immediately, but it's certainly not going to be, like, an immediate impact. So, like, he's going to come up and hit home runs every single
game. Well, I agree with that.
Which I think a lot of people are hoping.
No, that's not.
Look, you could tell yesterday Ben Davis is pretty down on him with the way he said he's just going to hit singles down there.
Mm.
So, like, Jody, what's your other
point? Ball rate's really high. He's hitting the ball on the ground a lot.
Yes. But I want to see it on the big league level because, let's be honest, they have to make a decision on their outfield for 2026. We're all worried about 2025. Yeah. World Series year, all in, and like, but at some point, the season's going to end. Could end with a parade. Could end with them getting bounced in the first round again. However it ends. But then you got to get to 2026. And I want to know if Crawford is part of the mix or not.
I am not. That's not a consideration for me. Meaning I'm not playing him this year to find out if he's my starter next year. I'm playing him this year if I think he can help me win a World Series. That's it. You think I'm wrong, Jody?
Yes, because I'm going to give you a list of guys who I'll give you a list of guys who are available as free agents this upcoming offseason, outfielders. And you want a guy who's going to bat 1, 2, 3, 4, right? You just told me, oh, I don't need Harrison Bader because he's going to bat 6.
Well, yeah,
so give me, I'm going to give you the list of outfielders and tell me the guys who are going to bat in the top 4 for the Phillies. Kyle Tucker.
Sure.
Well, he would, yeah, if
correct.
They get him.
Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, he'd be in the top 4 or 5, yes.
All right. Luis Robert. Maybe. Tyler O'Neill, Cedric Mullins, Michael Conforto, Mike Yastrzemski was traded yesterday.
None of these
Chris
guys.
Chris Taylor,
yeah.
Trent Grisham, Sterling Marte. So you've got Kyle Tucker and Cody Bellinger. Those are your two outfield options who are going to be free agents at the end of this year that would be an upgrade for the Phillies. What if you don't get one of those two? Yeah, I want to know if you can count Crawford into the mix of being part of their outfield next year.
Well, are you going to know from a month to Crawford for next year? You know what I mean?
Like, you got a more reasonable guess.
I just think you can't prioritize next year over this year. Yeah, and
yeah,
look,
I
agree with you, your general point of, like, Crawford could start for them next year.
This ain't the 1998 Phillies.
But, yeah,
I'm trying to win a World Series.
You got to win this year. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but is Crawford coming up going to make them less of a World Series contender?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Who's he taking the bats away from? Dude, you're going, oh, my God, you can't take Max Kepler out of the lineup.
Look, I would play Crawford. I'm with you on playing Crawford. It just has nothing to do with next year. It's to find out if he can help me now.
No, it's not both. Huh? No, it's not. They didn't bring Don Brown up in 2011 to see if he can. I don't know. I'm annoyed.
Kyle Tucker, by the way, if I could wave a magic wand and put a player on the Phillies, you know, money and everything aside, it would be Kyle Tucker.
He's a great player.
Unfortunately, he's going to make. I mean, he already does make a lot of money.
But
he's going to make a
boatload
of money.
That's the point. The three best outfielders are Kyle Tucker, Cody Bellinger, and Kyle Schwarber. Who they have to get re-signed first? You got to get Schwarber done first.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Your reaction to what Dombrowski did yesterday? I found it really frustrating, really, really aggravating. Darren in South Philadelphia. Darren, good morning.
Excuse me, is this like Brad the camera speaking? Like, I'm confused because on, was it Monday or Tuesday, you were crying about how we can't get rid of our prospects. Isn't there now you're upset they didn't do enough?
Caller has a point.
No, you do have a point, but Darren.
Bowler, sir.
All right, hold on. So, Darren, did you notice my main point, the point within the point that's my main point? This was an off-season failure.
The village idiot, Darren.
Hold on, James. The village freaking idiot knew that Rojas and Marsh weren't good enough.
But you knew that last week. How does that change your opinion? Like, that's
because if you're going to go in for the pitcher, keep going.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
No, I would have kept going too. I was always going to keep going. I just didn't know where you changed because you knew the outfield thing two weeks ago or a week and a half ago when you said that.
But James,
too.
It's what Dombrowski said yesterday. Clearly, his focus was on a right-handed hitting outfielder.
Yeah,
why?
I'm with you.
What about, like, I don't know, the left-handed hitting outfielders? I mean, Darren, there's only one reason to have a right-handed hitting outfielder. To bat him third or fourth. That's
it. But
this guy doesn't bat third or fourth, so why does he have to be right-handed?
But I'm just saying like this. The real ones know for the last five years we wanted Beta, so I'm happy he's here. So don't just act like he's
poo-poo. Dude, for 5 years I wanted freaking Buddy Hield, and then he got here, and I find out he's a guy.
Hey, Joe.
I don't care how long I wanted him here.
In order to do what you wanted to do, you had to put all the chips in, and you were scared.
I don't know that it took all the chips, man. Here's what you're saying. Here's what bothers me about what you're saying. You're trying to pin me against the wall saying that I didn't want Painter traded. They should have traded Painter for someone better. What I'm saying is there's a middle ground between a true star and this guy that if Dombrowski had put something on the table, you could have gotten the guy.
Who's the middle ground that was traded that would have worked for you?
It's not about who was traded. It's about the others. There's people that weren't traded that could have been traded.
It takes two.
Not without putting Painter in the deal.
Oh, sure there are. You don't have to put Andrew Painter in the deal to get someone better than freaking Bader. Come on.
But if nobody
Yeah, you don't.
Trade,
Joe's absolutely right about that. You don't.
I know, but was it going to take the second, the fifth? But if they don't want it, if they want Painter like the White Sox kept trying to say or whatever it was,
Look, I don't know why the White Sox kept Luis Robert. I don't even want that guy. I think he stinks.
Yeah,
so
it didn't make sense that they kept. It's so
but
weird.
They're a
the
dumb
Guardians
organization.
And the Kwan thing they're is idiots. Really the Painter thing. It felt like
Darren. Give me an answer. What had people scratching their head? What do you got there?
I mean, honestly, I was going to go for a joke, and I'm still going to go. Who decided to put you on the radio? I need
that answer would be Merrill Reese. Actually, Merrill Reese back in 2001. Jody, what were you going to say?
If Kwan is the guy, that was the other name that was kicked around, didn't get moved.
Right.
Which anytime a guy doesn't get moved, you have to believe that the price tag was high if they said that you need to get Painter, you got to put Painter in a deal to get Kwan at least Miller, if it's probably Miller plus, but more likely Painter. That was probably the asking price. Do you do that or you don't do that? Because that's better.
I did not want to trade Andrew Painter. Yeah. I'm not trading Andrew Painter. So, he's not the only guy in the system.
To Jody's point, like the Dodgers were in, the Padres, all these teams were in on Kwan. He didn't get traded. The price was high. I think the where you guys are, what Joe's trying to say is like, go get Ryan O'Hearn or Ramon Laureano or one of these other bats who is better than Bader.
Yeah, and, I'll tell you, really Bader. I'll tell you, Bader produces more than Ramon Laureano.
He might. Laureano's had a much better year for what it's worth. He's got like an 884 OPS. But in general, like, I think they're similar type players. O'Hearn's a much better hitter than he
is. All right, where do you stand on the trade deadline? It's over. It's August 1st. There's 2 months to go in the regular season. Phil's a half game behind the Mets. They add it. I mean, they really add it to the bullpen. The other thing is, another reason I'm frustrated is I thought it was more important to get an outfielder than a bullpen.
Me too.
Because I still think Lizardo and Painter are going into the bullpen. Look, I'm happy they got the reliever. I just want it more, especially after they got the reliever. All right, good morning to you. On this Friday morning from Borgata, Joe DeCamera, Jody Mackey in for Richie, Devin with us, no Rhea today, Seltzer's with us. We're always doing hockey shifts around here, on and off quickly. So no Rhea, no Richie today. They'll be back next week. We got a lot of Dave Dombrowski audio to play you this segment from things that he said yesterday after the trade deadline was over. Devin, do you think I'm too aggravated?
I mean, I understand it. Like, I understand the aggravation because I was really disappointed yesterday when 6 p.m. rolled around. I really thought that if they didn't get Kwan, which I didn't think that they would, but then my hopes just kept going up and up as the day went on and as 6 p.m. loomed closer because every other team that was reportedly in on him kept making other moves. And if not Kwan, I just expected them to get at least one other bat, and they didn't do that.
No.
And that, like, I think I would be more okay with getting Bader if they got, you know, another just outfield bat, even if it wasn't a star, you know, just one other bat to add to the lineup. So I don't think that you're totally off base, but the more I think about it, the more I think I can talk myself into being okay with it.
Well, look, time will tell whether this Bader guy comes through, and then obviously the combination of Rojas, Marsh, and Kepler, whoever stays, whether, you know, they play well or not. I mean, history tells us they probably won't because they're just not that good, although to Marsh's credit, he's played better lately. Let's listen to something Dombrowski said yesterday. He was asked the question about, you know, Bader and whether he's going to produce. Jody, I'm still waiting for the general manager after trading for someone to say, hell no, he ain't going to produce. you never get that answer. Let's listen to what Dave Dombrowski said yesterday.
What gives you the confidence that he can maintain that level of production and kind of give you the boost that you need in the lineup the last few months of the season?
Well, we think he's done it, and he's been doing it this year, so we think he can continue to do it. And it's not like he is hitting 400 and then continues to go forward there. He's been just producing on a regular basis. I think the type of player he is, he's been a good player for years, really, but this year's a little bit better from an offensive perspective by all means. We just think that he's played well and he can continue to do so.
Obviously an option in the mix, not yet in the mix, but certainly could be, is Justin Crawford. We were talking about him last segment. Dombrowski was asked yesterday about Crawford. Crawford to the big leagues this year. Let's listen to what Dombrowski said.
Do you have plans to promote him at some point this year?
Well, again, no decisions have been made. We think he's ready to play at the big league level. We could bring him up. If we do bring him up, he needs to play a lot. I'm not sure that we're in a position to do that at this point today, but he's not somebody that we would hesitate to bring up if we decided that was the right thing to do. It's not like he, like Painter, like a lot of those youngsters, they can use more development time. It will never hurt them. When they're going to get here, they're going to have to make some adjustments. But he's also in a position where we think he's ready to do that when called upon.
I'm glad to hear him say that he thinks he's ready. I don't like the idea that he's got to play a lot because I just don't agree with that.
That it's counterproductive.
Doesn't make any sense.
If you're going to, I know I'm going back to 2026, and none of you guys want to hear it, but
you're back to 2026?
That would be amazing. I said it previously.
What are we,
in
back
the show
to the future here? What's going on here?
When I said go back, that's what you said. Previously in the show we've done this morning.
Well, Jody
so far,
came
Joe
from the future.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm the son of a general manager.
Yep.
I know that you always have to have a big picture view. You need to get focused mostly on today, tomorrow, but someday, sometime, you got to look forward. Why wouldn't you bring him up? And if you're saying that he must play every single day, well, then you're locking him in. He's one of their outfielders next year. If you're saying that we can't bring him up here and just play him part-time, that's a mistake.
Well, that is a mistake. That is a mistake.
He needs to be up here tomorrow.
By the way, if he gets up here, I don't expect him to play every day.
Unless he earns it.
But he goes out there
and is getting two hits every single day, and all of a sudden
I don't think he's Willie Mays.
DFA Kepler.
All right, James, one more on that, because I want to get to something else Dombrowski said. By the way, Ruben Frank in about 5 minutes from Canton, Ohio, where the Hall of Fame festivities happened this weekend. James, the Kepler thing was pretty wild yesterday, what Dombrowski said. I thought not one, but two tip-offs that Kepler probably is not going to be here much longer. Dombrowski didn't state it the way I just stated it, but he said two different things that gave me the indication that he's the most likely guy to go. That's Kepler. Listen to what Dombrowski said yesterday, an interesting answer when asked about Kepler.
Where do you think Max Kepler fits into the roster equation at this point?
Well, he's playing in left field for us at this time. He's actually been swinging the bat a little bit better, particularly versus right-hand pitching. But he's part of our roster at this time.
You got at this time in the beginning, then you got a but, and then you got another at this time. He's on the roster. That tells me he's gone. Look, he's part of our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, of course, as always brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, which player is more likely to be on the Phillies roster for October, Kepler or Rojas? That answer tells me Rojas is more likely. But there's a chance both are gone. But then Crawford better be able to play. Effectively. Because you don't have many options left because the trade deadline just came and went. This is what you got. Second poll question.
But Rojas they can send down.
Yes,
Kepler
that's right.
needs to be DFA.
Yeah, he has options is the point.
Correct.
You could send Rojas down to bring Crawford up, which they should do,
yeah.
to get a look at Crawford.
It's hard to imagine Crawford be worse than Rojas. Rojas is horrendous. He's horrendous. Second poll question, how do you feel about the Phillies not trading for an outfielder better than Harrison Bader? A, disappointed. B, aggravated. C, you're actually happy with Bader. Let us know. To the phones, Ruben Frank shortly, Tyson right now, and Colin to it. Tyson, good morning.
Morning, Joe. I don't understand the frustration as much as I'm hearing it this morning either. I think the Phillies upgraded both areas in which you guys have been talking about for the past couple weeks, and I don't think that I would have wanted them to go all in and trade either Crawford or Painter to get a better outfielder. I think Dombrowski's really... He's telling the bats that we have in our lineup that they got to do better this year.
Well, he is saying that. That's right. That finger's being pointed at the Casties and the Stotts and Trey, who's been one of the better ones this year. But until he really shows it in October, you know, finger's got to be pointed at him and some others.
Certainly. I mean, we've got some money in this lineup, and we've got what I think is a pretty good lineup, a lineup good enough to really do this. They just need to produce. So I think he's definitely saying that. I'm excited about having a closer. We've probably got one of the best arms that was out there on the free market.
Clearly.
And I definitely think that Bader is going to be replacing Kepler for sure. And I hope.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That things turn around for us, you know? I'm there every Sunday. I see these guys playing. I see that they got it, usually. Yeah. They just got to come through.
All right, Tyson, good call. Give me an answer here. What had people scratching their head?
You know, why are we still pumping gas everywhere? I'm from New Jersey, and they pump my gas for me. And while I can handle pumping my own gas, I'm just curious why they're not pumping our gas everywhere.
I actually totally agree. I wait to get gas until we come here every Friday, or at least if I can, because it is so nice.
It is
nice.
It's cheaper, too.
It's so nice. Yeah. And it's cheaper.
It's good. Jody, five questions with the Mac Man when Jody's in. Reuben Frank in just a moment. But, Jody, got to ask you, because it was a big topic earlier this week on WIP, the cancellation of the postponement of tennis due to the heat. Was it the right call or the wrong call? What says the Mac Man?
First, I had to find out who made the call.
Management.
I did not know that.
Yeah, management.
Because the first I heard of it, because the afternoon show came on, so it's not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. They were getting on Jack's case.
They were. They thought he and I did not fight hard enough to play.
Yeah, which I think was completely unfair to both of you guys.
Hear what I just said, James? Which was true.
True that you did shut it down?
What? We didn't shut it down.
They didn't push back.
We didn't push back. I wasn't going to steal, storm the Bastille. I mean, I'm a rule follower. Management says no tennis.
Oh, yeah, total rule follower. Okay.
Management says it's too hot. Then it's too
hot.
This
is the guy who used to, when Spike Eskin was the program director, used to call him Spike's boss. So,
I was.
Make sure you clip that, James. Yeah. I'm a rule follower. Right. So I needed to know that first. But secondly, absolutely should have been shut down.
Okay.
It was nasty out there.
It was nasty.
I was getting ready, contemplating, getting in my car to come over and root for my guy at the camera.
Thank you.
And I was like, all right, yeah, back inside. More TV for the Mac
there
Man.
There you go.
I was happy as all get out.
Love it. All right, so we actually still don't know when tennis will be rescheduled for. I think Wednesday next week is the most likely day. We don't have that locked in yet. I really hope by the end of today we have it, because we want to announce it and let you know.
Really good.
We got to get the word out. But just know this, I would say Wednesday is the likelihood.
And I just want to reiterate that despite what Jody said, you're still weak and soft, and this is disappointing.
All right, let's talk to Reuben Frank. He's on the beat, obviously, covering the Eagles day by day. He's also on the Hall of Fame beat this weekend, which is a pretty cool thing to be at. He's in Canton, Ohio, where I was at one time. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is really a special place in America. Eric Allen was a special person and a special player for the Philadelphia Eagles for a long time. And he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Let's welcome Reuben Frank right now. Reuben, good morning.
Hey, guys.
I'm excited for you that you're out there, Reuben. What a great assignment, and what a great person and player to be able to track the next couple days, man. Eric Allen is so deserving, Reuben.
Yeah, he really is. And I think he got overshadowed a little bit because of Reggie. People kind of looked at that team and that defense as Reggie and some other guys. And, gosh, it took him 24 years.
Yeah.
He only had one more year of eligibility to get in. So he waited a long time. 58 interceptions, 9 pick sixes. I mean, the numbers are there. The smartest player I've ever been around, the smartest player I've ever seen.
Wow.
You know, he didn't have incredible – I mean, he wasn't the fastest guy, the biggest guy, any of that stuff. But nobody prepared more than Eric Allen. Nobody knew what the quarterback was doing better than Eric Allen, and that's what made him a great player.
Reuben, I thought he was double overshadowed. So you bring up rightfully the overshadow with Reggie, and, you know, Seth in many ways got more acclaim. Jerome, obviously, in his time was, you know, beloved and incredible. I thought he was overshadowed by Eagles. I also thought he was overshadowed. And listen, these other guys were better, but it didn't mean Eric Allen shouldn't have been a Hall of Famer way earlier. His era was Dion, Rod Woodson, and to a certain extent, a portion of his career, Darryl Green. And I thought that also hurt Eric. But that doesn't mean he shouldn't have been a Hall of Famer a decade ago. I mean, come on. Look, what is he how is it for him? Have you gotten an opportunity to see him out there yet? And what's on tap the next couple of days?
Yeah, I spent a bunch of time with him yesterday in Canton. And, he's so thrilled to be here. It's funny because he says he never felt like it wasn't going to happen. He was so confident.
Wow.
He said he just believed that the voters would eventually kind of look at the numbers, and his numbers are really similar to Deion's. You know, 58 picks, 9 pick sixes. Obviously, Deion did other stuff.
Sure.
Was an incredible player. But, yeah, he just had this calmness. He said when he got the call, he just wasn't, you know, he wasn't jumping up and down for joy. He's really happy, but he kind of expected it, which is really cool. He's just that's the kind of person he is, just a really positive guy. He's thrilled to be out here. He spent some time. I spent some time yesterday with Sterling Sharp and Eric, who first met at the East-West game their senior year in college. So
wow.
38 years ago. So they've known each other for a long time. They're going in together. Only 4 guys going in tomorrow. So it's a special day. A lot of those guys, Seth, Clyde, Keith Byers, Keith Jackson, Randall, they're all going to be here tomorrow. They're all here now. So it's a really cool way to get that group back together. And obviously we lost, you know, guys, you mentioned Jerome. Oh. We lost Wes Hopkins. We lost Andre Waters. So many great players from that group. But
yeah, and Mike Pitts and Reggie. I mean, it's incredible. They lost 5 guys from that defense alone. Incredible.
Yeah.
Rube, let me ask you the age-old question, because you mentioned Reggie and the overshadowing of Eric Allen. Defensive line makes it easier and better for cornerbacks. Cornerbacks make it easier and better for defensive line because they hold their spot. They don't give it up. The receiver isn't open. He gives you extra split second. Boom, you got the sack. Who helped who more, the Eagles' defensive line helping Eric Allen or Eric Allen helping the Eagles' defensive line?
Well, I don't know who helped more. I mean, Reggie's one of the greatest defensive players ever, and you know, so they helped each other, and that's what made it a great defense. There was really no weak links on it. I mean, they had great linebackers, rushers, the interior, obviously secondary. So it was just one of those defenses from 89 to 93. So 2 years under Buddy, and then Bud Carson, and then you know Emmett Tomlin. They were the best defense in the NFL for a 5-year period, and you don't do that with just one guy. You need 11 of them.
Yeah,
and they had them.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great to have a second Hall of Famer from that group. Reuben Frank with us from Canton. By the way, Beat the Hammer coming up in about 10 minutes, so be ready to call when I give you the cue to call. Be the contestant. This is a big one, by the way. I'm going for 290.
Ooh.
So looking forward to claiming that big victory coming up in a few minutes. Rube, let's talk present-day Eagles. You've been at all these practices. Number one thing that has stood out to you from training camp so far is what?
I would say the secondary, the coverage, has been unreal. I mean, Quinion has taken a leap in year two, and you know how good he was last year. All those guys, I mean, they have linebackers that can cover. They're making it really tough for the offense to get going, and you know how good this offense is. So it's been, I think this defense has a chance to be really, really good despite all the people that they lost. A lot of unknowns and some question marks still in the secondary, but I've just been dazzled by the secondary and the coverage and just how much better some of these guys. You see Cooper taking another step forward, Quinion, and you know, they're just really solid. And it's really kind of, actually, Mike Quick was talking about how similar this defense is to their defense with Eric Allen and Reggie White, where, like, last year the defensive line got so much credit and the secondary was really, really good, and people maybe overlooked them, similar to back in the day, back in the late 80s, early 90s. But this secondary is going to be good even without Slay and you know, without Avante Maddox. They'll somehow get by without James Bradbury. Yeah, I mean, that's been the biggest thing I've seen.
Boob, Keely Ringo, Adoree Jackson, how's it going to be decided?
Yeah, it's been back and forth. I think Adoree got a good start the first few days. He was better. Keely struggled. And then Keely had, you know, I wasn't there yesterday. I was out here in Canton, but Keely had a good day, whatever that last day I was there. And so it's going to be back and forth. I think it's close. You know, neither one is a perfect a player, but they both have, I mean, Keely's got that incredible length and athletic traits. He's just got to be more consistent. And then Adoree Jackson's got the experience and the know-how and the savvy. So I think they want Keely to win the job. They want the young guy, the draft pick, to win the job. But it's close right now. And if I had to pick one guy, I think Adoree's a little bit ahead of him, but there's a long way to go.
Ruben, so we got a preseason game in 6 days, which is unbelievable for the Eagles. I mean, there was one last night in Pro Football, the Hall of Fame game. But so, as a reporter, do you even bother to ask Sirianni anymore about whether starter is going to play in the first game? Like, if you do, do you just feel ridiculous asking the question? Like, you literally know the answer. You know the answer.
Yeah, I try not to ask questions that are not going to get an answer. Like, if you know it's not going to, like, you might get two questions to Nick. Why would you ask him one that he's not going to answer? It doesn't right. make sense. So somebody's going to ask it. I don't know why, but, you know, that's not going to change. And look, it's been proven to work. And
it has.
It's been proven to be the correct way to do it. And the risk of getting somebody hurt, it's just not worth it. So you go see. I like seeing these young guys play in preseason games. I like seeing the unknown guys and the street free agents and the rookies. So that's what it's going to be. And you'll see a lot of Tanner McKee, a lot of Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And, yeah, and you take it for what it's worth.
Last question. You mentioned Tanner McKee, Ruben, so we get ready to see him in 6 days. Let me ask you this. In the next 2 years, do you think he's a starter in pro football? I do. I think he's a starter somewhere. Do you think so?
He's that good, yeah.
Yep.
I really do, and I think those two games at the end of last year, I'm sure Howie got offers for him, but you know, he was going to be number two this year, so he wasn't going to move him unless he got a really ridiculous offer. He's really good. You watch him at practice, like, how is this guy a sixth-round pick? He's got a cannon. He's accurate. He's smart. He's got that great size. He really commands the huddle. He's confident. I asked Jalen about Tanner the other day, and he said, you know, when Tanner got here, like, he would ask me questions, and I would do my best to answer him. He's like, now we ask each other questions. Wow. It just tells you how far this kid has come, that Jalen kind of sees him as a guy he can learn from, that he can turn to for, you know, for advice and information about the defense and all that stuff, which is really amazing for a six-round pick who started one game in his career to have that kind of value. But he's that good.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think he's great insurance. If Jalen were to get hurt, you never want to lose the opportunity to win a Super Bowl if you have a Super Bowl-caliber roster. I think he's, you know, very likely one of the better backup quarterbacks in pro football, which is great. Rube, have a good time this weekend, man. I'm happy for you that you're out there, and we look forward to talking to more soon about the present-day Birds. Good stuff. Thanks, Rube.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
You got it, man. Beat the Hammer coming up in 5 minutes. 5 minutes for Beat the Hammer as I go for 290. We'll take the fifth caller on the contest line, caller five. Contest line, 215-988-1258. Caller five, 215-988-1258, Beat the Hammer. Jody, you root for me versus Fritz. I kind of can't remember. Do you root for me and Beat the Hammer? Greatness, recognize greatness? Because, Jody, I call you the great Jody Mack.
Yeah, you do.
I'm asking the question, does greatness recognize greatness back?
Rooting interest does not take away from greatness. Just because I'm rooting against you doesn't mean that your accomplishments aren't great. Yeah. Sometimes you root for the underdog, and every week is an underdog with you.
Sometimes friends stick with friends. I mean, are you friends with Bob, who's going to call in? No.
No.
Are we not friends, Mac Man?
We are friends.
I mean, I don't know.
I
don't know
really
if I'm hearing friendship
on him here, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, I go for 290.
Not looking great.
290.
Not looking great. I mean, 290 is impressive, but what's more?
Beyond impressive. Let's get the words right.
Okay.
Beyond
well,
impressive.
What's more impressive is your ability to make these obscure numbers a big deal. Like, oh, not a big deal. It's just a win 290.
The big question, Seltzer.
I mean, it's just a whole number.
James, do I pull the classic hammer out of the bullpen? Because I've been very muted.
It's been a while. Yeah.
It has been. I got this humble hammer thing going with the Fritz thing. I'm just trying to, you know.
Yeah, you've been toning it down.
I have been toning it down.
Until you said beyond impressive.
Yeah.
Then tone it down went right out the window.
Cut me
Until
off to
said,
correct
great,
me.
Recognize greatness.
Yeah.
Right?
All right. Pizza Hammer in just a couple of minutes as I go for the big 290. Let's talk to Tim right now. Day after the trade deadline, which,
hey,
look, let me just say this. Wednesday I thought was really exciting. I thought yesterday was really aggravating. Bader, really? .243 career batting average. I know this is one of his better years, but generally historically limited power. Now, again, this year one of his better years. He's over 10 homers, but you look at his career stats, he's not much of a power guy historically. He's a right-handed stick that's going to hit amongst all the other right-handers. I mean, he doesn't solve the four-hole issue, so he didn't solve that problem. He's going to be hitting behind whoever hits four, somewhere between five and seven, where you got all these right-handers like JT and Casty and Boehm after four. I was really disappointed. All right, let's go to Tim right now. Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey.
We're good. We're good. I mean, I just, it was like a tale of 2 days, Tim. You get one of the great closers in baseball on Wednesday, and you get freaking Bader on Thursday. But anyway, that's all I am.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, Dave, there's more than just the Twins to trade with, right? Like, why do we keep going Twins? There's other teams that we could have
traded
with.
Because the Twins chose to trade, like, half of their team yesterday.
It was weird. We haven't talked about it. It was weird that he made two separate trades with the same team. He did that with the Angels when he got Marsh and Syndergaard, too. Mm-hmm. It's just strange.
That's a good point. Hmm. Could have gotten Cody Clemens back.
I never wanted him gone, Devin.
I mean, honestly, that would have been just a little move that, like, I joke, kind of, but I would be okay with it. I think a lot of people would be. He's doing well.
I always trusted that guy, and I know his stats weren't great here, but I'm just being honest. I always trusted him, and James, you know, when they got rid of him, I was like, really?
Yeah.
He's doing a lot better than Weston Wilson.
That's the guy that's got to go? Cody Clemens has to go? Come on. All right, Tim, thumbs up or thumbs down on what happened?
Yeah, I give it a thumbs down, I would say. I feel like the Phillies are turning into the Wilpon Mets in the front office.
I think that's it.
And what's the analogy? Just help me understand it. What does that mean?
Well, the Wilpon Mets were the reason why the Mets were having a hard time signing people. Like, they signed, Piazza, and that's it?
Well, Wilpon lost his money in the Madoff thing and all that and stopped spending money.
Look, when they got Piazza, they got Olerud, they got Ventura.
This Phillies
team's problem is not spending
money. Like, I know they didn't spend as much as we wanted this offseason, but they have spent enough money to win. Like, they have.
I totally agree, James. But one of Rhea's main points is, if you're going to go this far, just go a little further.
Yeah, and I get it. But I'm just saying.
And that's kind of my point with the trade deadline. If you're going to add the star closer, go a little further. And it didn't have to be a star outfielder, but it could have been a better outfielder. I don't mean defensively. I mean, you know, offensively. Tim, give me an answer, my man. Because the trade deadline's got a lot of people scratching their head. Wednesday felt like an A+, and yesterday to me felt like a D. What has had people through the year scratching their head?
The butt fumble.
Ooh. No,
not really.
That just happened.
Yeah.
No, he ran into someone and fumbled. There's nothing to scratch your head about. What made it worse is the Patriots had scored a touchdown right before that. So it was like two. Wasn't it even a kickoff return, maybe? So it was two touchdowns in about 10 seconds, is my recollection. All right, let's play a game. We do it every single Friday at this time. I typically dominate, although sometimes it's close. Sometimes I even lose. But it's a game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, and our prize for Beat the Hammer today is a $50 Rita's Italian Ice gift card. Gummy Bear Ice is back at Rita's. Stop by today. Grab some before it goes. Of course, we love Rita's. You get the $50 gift card. That's good for a lot of trips. Depends how many people you got in your family, but that's good for a lot of trips. All right. Joe in Marlton right now. Joseph, how many people in your immediate family?
Three.
All right. So I'd say
that's good trips. Yeah.
You're looking at about five, six trips to Rita's. Yeah. This is good. Joe, what matters more to you, the $50 gift card or the glory of beating the hammer?
Give me that $50 gift card.
What an answer, Joe. Well done.
Fair enough. You're trying to diminish my
greatness.
I
enjoyed that quite a bit.
All right, so, Joe, how are your chops on sports trivia? Do you feel pretty good?
I feel okay.
All right. Feels
good.
Okay.
I like that. Understated.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, Joe, I'm going to step away from our location here, but I'm certainly going to wish you luck. Two things for you to know, Joe. One, I'm going for victory 290, and the others are a lot of people listening. So don't
listen to him.
Then again,
just
James,
us hanging out, having
James,
a good
that
time.
Kid beat me yesterday in the freaking Are You Smarter
and
Than
we'll
a 12th Grader?
And we'll hear it in Drop of the Week. So
and
he,
I gave him that line. It didn't work. I take that line back, Joe. I rescind that line. Joe, good luck to you, man.
All right, thanks.
Scram. Get out of here. No one needs you here, Hammer. Enough, right?
What are you doing?
For some reason, he's not
he's
walking
still
away.
Get out of here. What are you doing? We're doing a live radio show here.
Now he's jogging.
Yeah, there you go. Slowly jogging. Jody, you were there for baseball. Have you ever seen a human being run slower in person?
I think he actually moved quicker down the hall down here at the Borgata than he did down that first base line, yeah.
All right, is he safely ensconced?
He is.
Yes.
Am I running clock here? You are running the clock, yes, okay. Devin. You are on clock duty. You have proven to be able at clock duty, and I appreciate that.
The nicest thing you've ever said to me.
All right. He is safely ensconced. Joe from Marlton, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. Our category for the week. He's getting inducted tonight onto the Wall of Fame, getting honored. Never done him as a category. We're going to honor our guy, Ed Wade. A little Ed Wade trivia today. You ready to roll, my friend?
All right.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. You'll have 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Two Hall of Famers were the only players to be on the 40-man roster when Ed Wade became the full-time GM and to remain on it when he was dismissed. Name one of them.
Scott Rowland.
Who is the only first overall pick Ed Wade made as a general manager?
Cole Hamels.
In 2003, Ed Wade traded Taylor Buchholz, Brandon Duckworth, and Ezekiel Estacio for what future Hall of Fame pitcher?
2003?
Yes.
Pass.
After inheriting Terry Francona, how many full-time managers did Ed Wade hire with the Phillies?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two.
What general manager did Ed Wade succeed with the Phillies?
Lee Thomas.
In 2003, Ed Wade traded Taylor Buchholz, Brandon Duckworth, and Ezekiel Estacio for what future Hall of Fame pitcher?
Time.
All right. Yep. We got two there. Could have been worse. Could have been worse. It felt like it was going to be worse. Joe, way to pick it up at the end there.
Had us in the first half.
He did. I think the hammer is going to win, but we'll find out. We're going to wave the hammer back in the studio.
Oh, he's jogging back. This is a sight. Jody, do you think he knows his shirt is half tucked in?
Of course
he doesn't. Is that an intentional?
0%
like
chance.
It's
zero.
Not intentional.
Less than zero. What's less than 0%? Is that a thing?
I got to tell you, the grin got a lot of relief with that.
I'm so
injection.
Happy to hear that, man.
Seriously.
I believe you. Yeah. Good. No, if you're going to win tennis, you need that.
I win tennis, I win basketball, I win the whole thing. And is what's going to happen.
And we'll hear in Drop of the Week, you made a all-time bold tease yesterday.
I did.
We'll get to it in Drive of the Week. That's coming up 9:10. Everyone check it out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, right.
How did this guy, Joe Marlton, do?
His name's Joe. It's a good name for Hammer, right?
It's a great name.
Yeah, you ready to roll here?
Ben.
All right, category for the week. We're going to honor our guy who's getting honored tonight at Citizens Bank Park. We're doing a little Ed Wade trivia today.
Ed Wade trivia, wow.
How about it?
I'm thinking J.D. Drew will be an answer.
All right, you ready to roll here?
Ed Wade. Wow, let's do it.
All right, clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Here we go, 55 seconds. Question number one. Two Wall of Famers were the only players to be on the 40-man roster when Ed Wade became the full-time GM and to remain on it when he was dismissed. Name one of them.
Mike Lieberthal.
Who is the only first overall pick Ed Wade made as a general manager?
Pat Burrell.
In 2003, Ed Wade traded Taylor Buchholz, Brandon Duckworth, and Ezekiel Estacio for what future Hall of Fame pitcher?
I'll come back to that.
After inheriting Terry Francona, how many full-time managers did Ed Wade hire with the Phillies?
After inheriting Francona, well, then if you don't count the guy that... Okay, hold on. So I'm going to add this up. It's going to be Boa, and it's going to be Charlie, and you're not counting the guy that had two games, too.
What general manager did Ed Wade succeed with the Phillies?
Lee Thomas.
In 2003, Ed Wade traded Buchholz, Duckworth, and Estacio for what future Hall of Fame pitcher?
Wow, 03. Man, I have absolutely no idea. 2003, the Phillies had someone that made the Hall of Fame. God.
Time.
No clue. Who?
Billy Wagner.
Billy Wagner.
There you go. Oh, trick question. He's been Hall of Fame for about 20
not
minutes.
Not a trick. He's in the Hall
Very
of Fame.
Very good, James. That's a great question.
A 4-2 victory for the Hammer.
All right. That's how you do. That's the Hammer being. And ladies and gentlemen, that's 290. Now, I'm not going to peacock too much because I'm going to save that for after Fritz if I unleash on him. I'm still not sure if I'm going to. Going to remain mostly humble Hammer. Joe, 290, though, you got to admit, is, as they say, damn impressive.
Good
Joseph,
job.
It seems like you did pretty good. You got 2 out of 5. In baseball, that'd be good. That'd be 400 batting average. Problem for you, I'm an 800 batting average. What say you?
I tried my best and came up short.
Joe, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
You're playing that accountability
for,
right there.
You're playing for Lombardi. You screw up. You go to the sideline and say, yeah, coach, tried my best. Does that work? You get that next rep with the coach, or the coach say, see you later, Jack?
I think he'd give me one more shot.
I think so, too. And you know what? So would the Hammer, Joe, because I forgot to be humble Hammer. Jody, what happened? My head got all screwed up there.
Yeah, you're going back and forth back and forth.
This is awful. Joe, you're a fine man, clearly a better human than me. Joe, I want to thank you for listening to the show, listening to the station, participating in Beat the Hammer, and we want to reward you because 2 out of 5 ain't bad with the $50 Rita's Italian Ice gift card. I'm going to put you on hold, Joe, so we can get your information. Thanks for playing today, bud.
Wow, thanks a lot.
You got it, my man. All right, and with that, victory 290. It's going to be around week 10 or so, week 9 of the Eagle season. That's when I get to 300. With that said, victory 290. Let's shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right. Macman, would you say you have all for the Hammer?
I would say I was impressed with 4 out of 5.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I was too. That's me.
Jody, would you have beat the Hammer?
No.
Okay.
I did. I jotted him down, and Wagner was one of only two I got right.
Well, you only got two.
As a matter of fact, shame. Yeah, I only got two. Like
was
Joe.
Lee Thomas the
Joe
other
and,
one or Burrow?
Joe and Joe. Joe, Joe, and Joe.
Was Lee Thomas
if
the other
one? If
you
go by my actual first name.
You got Lee Thomas, right?
Yes.
That's Lee what I would have guessed is the other guy. I thought the Lee Thomas and Burrow, I thought those were very gettable.
How did you not get
Burrow? I couldn't get Burrow.
Because J.D. Drew was the second pick.
Correct.
I was scratching my head on that. And you did mention you were going to get J.D. Drew in. I thought you were going to guess him as soon as the question came out. It made me smile when you said J.D. Drew. I said, oh, I'm going to get that one wrong.
Yeah, he was the second pick. All right, so Victor 290. Let's get back to the trade deadline stuff. Let's actually play you some audio of what Dombrowski said. James, number 8 here, please. Dombrowski on the Bader acquisition. One of the main things, obviously, is the frequency with which he will play. Where he fits in, left field, center field. It is crowded out there. I think Bader's the best of them, but I don't think that means he's good. Here's Dombrowski yesterday on the frequency with which Bader will play.
Dave, how do you see your outfield configuration now? Will Bader be an everyday guy for you?
Well, good question. Start right off. He's going to play a lot. The lineup will be Topper's decision, of course. We're happy to get him. He's played well this year, offensively and defensively. He's hit the ball with some pop. We think he helps us. I'm not sure which way he's going to go on a regular basis, if he's going to play every single day or not, but that'll be when you'll have to let Topper. We're just very happy to have him. Think that he's a good addition for us from both perspectives, offensively and defensively.
James Seltzer. Dave Dombrowski says, quote, we're very happy to have him. James Seltzer, are you very happy to have him?
I'm happy to have Harrison Bader. I do think he makes the Phillies better considering what they had. And, you know, like, I'm just, obviously, I'm disappointed. You know, my answer to the poll would be disappointed. That's where I'm at. I'm not aggravated. I'm disappointed because we said at the beginning of the show, I think that the clear phrase for me is missed opportunity. Yeah. It felt like this team had it right in front of them. They went and got Deron, and it's like, all right, go get a big bat, and the entire city is with you. We're all there. We're all ready, and let's go win a World Series, and it felt like they were right there.
Yeah.
So I do like Harrison Bader. I feel bad because I feel like he's getting a bum rap because he's not good enough, but he is a better player than what they have. I'm just disappointed.
So, you know, where I land, and certainly you can weigh in, 215-592-9494, is more than disappointed. It's aggravated. I had mentioned earlier Eric Brundtland on the 08 Phils was okay. There's a reason the Phils had him as a bench player, and I feel like the Phillies for a couple years now have been having center field and left. And I'm not saying Bader's a bench player, but I don't think he's a good player. And I just feel like, you're trying to win a World Series, and it's been a lot of slop out there. And I think the best analogy, and Jody, does it hold for you? The analogy that I go with to me sums it up the best in Philly sports history is it reminds me in 03, after 01 and 02 Eagles, in 03 when the Eagles came back again with Pinkston and Thrash. That's what this feels like. I mean, let me just again say the names. Out there has been. I'm just doing center and left combined. 22, you had Vierling and Marsh. 23, you had Rojas, Marsh, and who was the other one, James?
I was on the phone. What were you saying?
23, you had Rojas,
Castellanos?
Marsh.
Castellanos?
No, center and left. Well, anyway, you've had the freaking Merrifield guy. You had Austin Hayes. You had Austin Hayes. This year you got Kepler. You still got Rojas and Marsh. Now you add this Bader guy. Jody, it feels to me like it's Pinkston and Thrash. I'm trying to win a title, and I'm leaning on Pinkston and Thrash too much.
The Eagles, for me, were much, much more frustrating.
But, Jody, Pinkston was actually better than these guys.
Christian Pache, by the way.
Oh, my
gosh.
Pache. Yeah. I forgot about him.
And, James, they're always the worst regulars.
Yeah.
Or semi-regulars.
It's unbelievable.
It's always those two. It's Pinkston and Thrash all over again.
And honestly, it even really goes prior to them competing. I mean, you remember the Roman Quinn, Odubel Herrera? Like, center field has been a wasteland for this team since Shane, really. Like, more or less.
More or less, yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
I was more upset by the Eagles because you just got the feeling that Andy Reid believed, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah, he did.
I don't need to go out and get anybody. I don't need to get an Owens. I don't need to get this guy. We'll make it work because it's my offense.
But isn't that what Dombrowski makes you feel with this? This is how I feel.
This is where you and I have a problem all day. If there had been someone else that moved, if there had been another answer, then I'd be ticked off. Yeah. Then I'd be frustrated. There wasn't.
Yeah, but okay, I'm going to go back to what I said at 6 a.m. for those just tuning in. The biggest failure in this whole thing was November through January.
On that, we agree with.
It's putting yourself in a position, in a tough trade market yesterday, to be in a position where you had to try to scramble to get something, knowing that it's hard to do. This could have been easily solved November, December, and January with free agency. And that's where I think the greatest issue lies with how this thing shakes out. Now, listen, maybe Crawford comes up and saves the day. Maybe he does. Probably not. Come on, let's be real.
But at least you got to give him a chance. You have to get him up here soon.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.